Today's episode is brought to you by Ting. Please visit cadcast.ting.com for a $25 service credit or device discount. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 309. I am your host, GPD, here in Tokyo, Japan. And all we have today is plain old Wombat.
Yeah, Wombat, classic Wombat.
Classic CADcast. Wombat and GP show today. Shipwreck, what happened with Shipwreck today?
I believe he had basketball practice that ran late and it was far from home. What he does to get his girls into top shape is that he drives them out into the middle of a cornfield about 3 hours outside of town, and then he leaves them there, and then he has to drive all the way back to go get them to see how they fared.
Wait, he actually goes back and gets them?
Well, yeah, it's like it's more of a sensory deprivation kind of a technique.
My fraternity did that to me. It's part of the hazing process.
That sounds really unfortunate.
But they didn't. They don't come back to get you, though.
That's
you have to get home. The whole point is that you get home by yourself.
That's not cool.
It was kind of
and that's
cool,
in Buffalo, and Albany, right? Albany,
Rochester,
Rochester. It's all the same.
No, Rochester is much better than Albany. Come on, don't you think that people who live in Rochester think that they're better than people who live in Albany?
I think people who live in Rochester can't believe what happened to their lives.
Because they haven't seen the sun in a long time. And it's
in a long, long time. I'm just kidding, Rochester people. I'm sure you're all wonderful.
Isn't, speaking of Shipwreck not being here and coaching his girls, didn't he say that he shut out their last team that they played?
Yes, and he lost his star player for the season.
What? Oh, she hurt herself?
Yeah. This junior high school basketball is serious business.
But they shut out the other team. Isn't that
yes.
like, impossible?
It's pretty. I think it's pretty difficult in the basketball world.
I mean,
yeah.
That can't happen very often.
No, even I can make a layup.
Is it high? It's junior high school? What is
I think
doing?
It's junior. I want to say it's junior high. But you know what? I don't really know. Because you know what I don't really ask him about? So how are those girls? Because there's no way to ask that without sounding like a creep.
How are those underage girls, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no, it doesn't work. You can't do that.
Right. So, so just us two today for a classic show. But that we'll have a good time, I think. There's a lot of stuff
I
to talk about. Because last week we did our 2012 favorite games. And we didn't really talk about anything else. We just talked about our favorite games. So we skimped out, I think.
Yeah, I think overall the feedback on that was positive. There wasn't very much negative. There weren't very many comments at all in the show thread. So really, guys, step it up.
Right.
People.
We need to have
people.
We need to have prizes.
You see, the show should be prize enough.
Right. Should be. Yeah.
should be. The show is free entertainment. That we provide to you on a semi-regular basis.
Right. Semi-regular being the key word here.
Yes, semi-regular.
Mm-hmm. So I had lunch with my friend Campin' Kev yesterday.
I know him well.
Remember him? You might know him from the Windows 7 Whopper video and the guy who built my giant computer that's way too large.
I know him as being your friend in Japan. That's how I know him.
I have more than one friend in Japan.
No, you don't. You have like three.
I have like three.
You have him, you have the black guy in the Tokyo American Club video,
yeah,
and the Australian lady in the Tokyo American Club video.
Yeah, I did a, well now you just like ruined it for me. I was trying to keep that secret.
I didn't know that was supposed to be a secret because it's hysterical. And you're not the one that's the worst in it. Everyone else is significantly worse than you. Everyone else in that video was significantly worse.
What do you mean
the
worse?
Host,
okay, okay.
The host.
Didn't you realize I was trying to keep a secret by the fact that you didn't see me tweet it out anywhere or really mention it at all?
Oh, no one's gonna find it. If that host was any stiffer, He would have been basically, I don't know if it's possible. I'm pretty sure it was a reanimated corpse that was hosting it.
I will, well, now I have to tell people what it is. So there's this club here called Tokyo American Club.
You mention it in every episode.
We never mention it.
You've mentioned it in every episode. It's where you go to play foosball.
Okay, right. Okay, so I've mentioned it maybe once.
And it's where you eat lunch every day.
I don't eat lunch there every day.
Every other day.
Anyway, so they were putting together a promotional video because they're trying to get new members. You know, the economy's shitty. All the whiteys went home because of the earthquake and the guy and getting laid off. So they put together this promotional video, and they asked me if I would be in it. I happen to know the guys who made the video through the 8-4 guys. Anyway, so I did it. I thought I'd be nice, and I do like Tokyo American Club a lot, and it's right around the corner from where I live, so it's awesome. I mean, they got all this restaurants and pool and basketball court, and you know, it's crazy. So anyway, so I made the video, and I'm in it a lot, right? I'm in it way too much.
You're not in it. You trust me. The women that are in it, that Australian woman who isn't drives me nuts. Maybe it's just the accent. I don't know what it is.
Right.
You're fine. You did a fine
job.
I'm
the American. I bring the America to Tokyo American Club. They don't have a lot of Americans there.
That host, though, was so stiff.
You don't like Dante?
Is that his name?
Dante is kind of famous in Japan.
Is that the guy who wrote the book?
No.
Okay.
Black Passenger, Yellow Cabs?
Yeah, was that? No, it's not that guy?
No, okay. He is actually known for being in these SoftBank commercials. SoftBank is a cell phone carrier. It's the cell phone carrier that carries the iPhone here.
Mm-hmm. So I'm familiar with the company.
So he does this. They, of course, it's a Japanese commercial, and it's a weird-ass commercial where it's some Japanese family, but he's in the family, even though he's a black guy. And the dog, there's a white dog, and I think the white dog is the father in the family. It's weird,
you've already lost me.
Well, it's a Japanese commercial. It's not supposed to make any sense, and it has a foreigner in it, I guess. So, anyway, the commercial was very popular, and I think he, you know, benefited.
Was able
from
to parlay that into a lucrative endorsement deal with the Tokyo American Club.
I don't even think he's a member there because I've never seen him there.
I'm sure
he's there
he
all the time. So I don't know.
He's too stiff to move that far to get to the club.
I don't know. All right. So much for the secret Tokyo American Club video.
Oh, whatever.
Whatever.
We have no secrets on this show.
Right. Definitely not on YouTube.
Oh, you were talking about Camp and Kev. I cut you off.
Right. So I had lunch with Camp and Kev yesterday, and he was very upset that we didn't read his show feedback from, it was a couple weeks ago. I guess it was during our little New Year's downtime.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll read this. This relates to when we're talking about karaoke. I've given in, by the way. You realize that I've given in, and now I'm just calling it karaoke.
Because that's the way you pronounce it when you're talking to Americans.
Okay, fine. I admit that that's correct now.
Thank you.
So Camp and Kev writes in. He says, I was dismayed to hear Cheapy was tricked by the pricing for Xbox karaoke, despite having lived in Japan for so long. And I guess what he's saying is because when you go to a karaoke place here, you pay by you pay in real time.
Yeah. Yes. Which makes sense.
And and then he brings up that they've had this service on the Wii for a long time. And it's actually the Wii version is way better. It has way more songs. It's like something like 80,000 songs versus 8,000 songs on the Xbox.
78,000 songs on the Wii version.
Anyway, so he posts the pay structure here, and it's the increments are much different than the Xbox version. It's 24 hours, 3 days, 30 days, and 90 days are your choices. And on the Xbox one, it's all in hours.
Exactly. And it's also worth noting that the 24-hour price point is the same as what? The 2-hour price point on the Xbox? It's $3 for 24 hours on the Wii?
Right. It's way cheaper on the Wii.
And it's $20 for 90 days, which makes sense to me as that's more like a subscription model.
Which I said I would really like.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense. And I wouldn't. And I think when you, just by listing it out by 24 hours, you know, 3 days, 30 days, 90 days, when you're showing that it's $10 for 30 days, I wouldn't expect that to be 30 days of playtime. I would expect of that course. To be 30 days. Because it sounds like, oh, I get it. It's like a monthly subscription.
Of course.
Which makes sense. But that's the exact opposite of, I feel, is what Microsoft did exactly. with their hourly pricing program.
Exactly. And that's why I was confused, Camp and Kev, because it's not, it wasn't done with the same structure. If I saw that, I would, it would be obvious that it was in real time. Anyway, I wish I had this this Wii karaoke. It sounds awesome.
Too bad you don't have a Wii. You should go out and buy one.
I threw it in the garbage.
I know you did. They say that they have it on, according to your friend, he mentions that they have it on the PlayStation 3 if you have a Japanese PS3 account.
Right, right. I don't know how much trouble I'm willing to go through for this, but anyway, Camp and Kev, everybody.
Thank
that,
you, Kev.
That's my excuse, Kev, is that the time structure.
Did you watch anything, bitch?
I did. I watched something awesome. I watched a lot of awesome things.
So did I, but you go first.
I watched Dread, which is now out for rental on iTunes.
I've heard very good things about.
I didn't know really anything about it, and I watched the Sylvester Stallone one.
That's a terrible movie. You've never seen the comic, I'm assuming.
No, I haven't seen the comic, but this is really good. This is a straight up 80s style hardcore, hard R rated action movie that doesn't fall into like a lot of the traps that the modern action movie falls into, where you feel like you have to have lame jokes somehow, mm-hmm. right? Like the obvious things that you would expect to see in a Dread movie, in a Hollywood Dread movie, they don't fall for that trap. And it makes the movie so much better. So even though, the plot of the movie is like Dredd is evaluating a new rookie and they get into some like major trouble. And you'd expect, like, if it was in like the Stallone Dredd movie, they'd have this real antagonistic relationship where like he would just be poo-pooing everything the rookie did, but it doesn't come to that, It's smart. And there's a lot of slow motion killing in it, which I like, Wombat.
Well, this is, I think it's technically a British film.
Oh, okay.
Which would explain a lot. Explain a lot, really.
That would explain a lot.
Why it doesn't feel like a Hollywood movie, because I don't think it really is.
Aha.
I mean, Carl Urban is definitely not American. I like him a lot. He plays Bones in the Star Trek movies.
You're kidding. Wait, no, Bones? He plays Bones in the Star Trek movies?
Yes, he plays Bones in the Star Trek movies.
I never would have guessed that. He was great in this. I thought this movie reminded me of RoboCop in a lot of ways.
Well, it's funny because I have this up on IMDb, and the first thing they mention in the trivia was that the original script for the film was written back in the early 80s and altered and changed so much that it became the first RoboCop film, and the Dread film was shelved.
That's interesting.
So I think they took that original script and then changed it enough to make it not RoboCop is what it sounds like.
Ah, interesting. Well, Dread reminds me a lot of RoboCop.
Too bad this movie lost money, huh?
I can't believe it. It's great. And I heard the 3D version is excellent, although I didn't watch it in 3D. I would go and rent the DVD, the Blu-ray to see the 3D. I would definitely watch it again.
There you go.
It's excellent. It's really good, Wombat.
I will
not
have
for
to
kids.
Check it out.
It's very gory. Super gory.
I'm happy to check it out at some point. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Excellent.
One day.
Excellent.
One day. Well, maybe who knows when, because what I did over the weekend was I broke my year-long I don't need Netflix spell and picked up Netflix again.
You were on a Netflix fast?
I was on a Netflix fast because I added all the premium cable channels and was like, I don't need Netflix. But what Netflix added recently was a lot of good Disney stuff. Which is good for, the children.
Right.
And stuff that I wouldn't be able to get on cable. So I'm like,
what? You don't need cable and you just go with Netflix.
Well, at this point, I actually don't pay that much for cable. My cable's relatively inexpensive because it comes packaged with the phone and the internet, and I got super fast internet, which lowered the price of my cable.
Right.
And I was able to tie my cell phone bill into that bill also, and I get another discount because of that. So Verizon has me in deep is really where I'm going with this.
Right, right.
So, but for the $8 more a month, really, is what it comes down to. It's worth it to have all of those. To have Alice in Wonderland on demand for Sabrina is
sure,
makes it worth
cheap.
It.
It's nothing. It's not. It's
really not much at all.
I have Hulu and Netflix, and I don't watch TV at all, and I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
I think with Hulu Plus, you really aren't missing anything.
I'll just pirate anything that I need. That's not available anywhere else.
That's your own problem.
That's my own. Well, I don't have any other option, unfortunately.
No, I did watch a couple of those DC movies that I missed, the DC Universe movies.
Oh yeah, they're all great.
They are all great, and I'd never seen Doom,
which
so
great.
Justice League Doom, which I really liked. Having read that graphic novel, I think when did I first read that? I don't know, maybe 12 years ago. Tower of Babel is what it's based on.
That's the one where there's somebody who's found all the secrets to the.
Well, it's not
super
somebody.
Friends.
It's somebody steals.
Yeah, I know
it.
But it's a secret who that person
is. Oh,
is
it
so
that word?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's pretty early on in the movie. But yes,
right.
I probably it was great seeing it in animated form, but I feel like I would have enjoyed it more if I didn't know what I was going to see.
Right.
But again, it was still really cool to watch.
I haven't seen any of those. None of those movies are bad. I've seen.
Now, did you watch Batman Year One?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's really good. That's really good.
Peter Weller's good as Batman, right?
No, that you're thinking of Dark Knight. Not Dark Knight Returns.
Oh.
Batman Year One.
Oh, Year One. Right, right. Who's in that?
With Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
Is Commissioner Gordon.
Who's Batman in that?
What's his face from the OC? Ben McKenzie.
Oh. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. No, it was good. I really liked that one. I thought it was one of the best looking of those movies I had seen.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
We started watching the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, I like that. I like Ultimate. I know a lot of people do not like Ultimate Spider-Man.
Because it's too silly?
Because it's too silly. I think that there's room in this world for a silly Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is supposed to be silly, I thought.
It depends on who you ask.
Right. I mean, I think it's funny, though. The silliness is, I think it hits more often than it misses. So.
I agree with you. I am on your side. We now have at least 10 new comments of people explaining to us why we're wrong.
But we're also, are you watching it with Sabrina?
Sabrina watches it with me sometimes. Did you see the episode with Wolverine?
No, not yet.
Oh, that's my favorite one. And I'm not giving away too much, but there's an episode and it was written by Brian Michael Bendis, who I think is a very good comic book writer, probably one of the best ever. And he wrote this episode, and really very few people know Spider-Man as well as him. But what he did was, who was it? Oh, wow, I like how my brain is just a bad guy. Swaps brain patterns with Wolverine and Spider-Man. And it's like a Freaky Friday episode.
Oh, God. You just turned off everybody who is listening.
It is hysterical. There are some moments I won't spoil, but there are some actual really good laugh out loud sight gags in that. Where they
it
go
looks good too. Don't you think it's like it?
I think it looks right. I think it's cute. I know there were a lot of people who really liked the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon that was on before that. That was more true to comic book style.
Right.
And
well, they
can't
do that again because they just did that. So this isn't.
Well, I think it's more of a they canceled that great show so they could make this silly show because they didn't want two cartoons on at the same time. And there's a lot of resentment there.
Well, I'm sure the other show didn't have the viewership. That's why they canceled it.
I'm not here to lay blame. I'm just saying I liked both. I like both shows.
Right.
Yeah. That's my response. I like both shows, but I definitely think there's room in this world for both. I finished watching. I missed a couple of the Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes episodes.
So yeah, we started watching season two of that.
Yeah, I finally finished those up. I only had like three left. And that ends. That's the end of that.
Oh, it is?
It's done. Yeah, so they're rebooting that over the summer.
Oh, cool. Ty likes that too, but the story is pretty complicated, and you have like Skrull, Captain America, and I have to keep explaining to Ty that it's not the real Captain America.
I get that. It'll be different. But the summer one's more based on the movie when that comes out.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's seen the movie too. But
yeah, did he like it?
Yeah. Hey. Hell yeah. But hell he never asked to watch it again, so maybe it was a little intense for him.
What can you do? releases?
Should
we talk about video games on our video game podcast?
I guess so. I kind of want to talk about another TV show, though.
Oh, what show? Man versus Food? I love that show. Adam Richman?
The Booth at the End. It's the hardest title to remember of any TV show.
The Booth at the End.
It's about a guy. It's a Hulu exclusive TV show.
Ah, that would be why I don't know what it is.
But it's excellent. And it's about, you'll be hooked after one episode. It's about a, there's a guy who sits in a diner all day at the booth at the end.
And that much I gathered from the title.
And people come to him and they ask him for things. He's got like a magic book, sort of. It's like you don't really know what's going on, but he's got this special book and people ask him for something and then he looks it up in the book and gives them a task to do. And if they perform the task, then they get what they ask for.
It sounds a little Fantasy Island-ish.
It is, but it's much darker because the tasks that you get assigned are basically related to what you ask for. So if you ask for something big, you're going to have to do something big.
Gotcha. Like kill somebody.
Exactly. So it's all just people talking in a diner, but it's really interesting and well done. So The Booth at the End.
It stars Xander Berkeley. He was in that documentary that I watched that I mentioned on the show, that guy who was in that thing.
What?
I watched a documentary called Who Was in That Thing.
Right, right.
And the man from The Booth at the End was on that documentary as being one of those guys who's in a lot of movies that you don't know his name.
Yep. He's good and he's very good in it. I recommend it. We watched almost there's two seasons of it and it's only five episodes in a season and they're only 22 minutes, but
this,
I think we're almost
there done. Are 10 episodes.
Yep. We just finished it. So now we don't have any more. The guy, the writer and the creator of the show thanked me for mentioning it on Twitter.
Nice.
Which was nice.
Good work.
I don't know. All right. Let's do some new releases.
Why not? There really is only one major release, I think, to talk about this week.
Thanks to Tech Gaming, by the way, who are getting this list from. Tech-gaming.com.
Yes. And that is Hello Kitty Picnic with Sanrio Friends.
Yay.
$20 on the eShop for the 3DS.
Right.
Now, Devil May Cry. The reboot, DMC.
Yep. I have not read anything about it. I don't really have any interest in it, even though I've played several of the earlier games. I'll check it out when it gets cheap. I'm sure it seems like it's getting good reviews, right?
It's received very good reviews. It's made by Ninja Theory.
Yep, and I liked Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, and Enslaved.
I never played that.
I did. I enjoyed that game. I liked Enslaved. You liked Heavenly Sword. The reviews have been very strong, even though Dante does have black hair, which
people got upset about that. I didn't realize that there was a lot of controversy about. Oh yeah, I see the picture of him. Yeah, he looks like a. I don't know. Looks like an American guy now.
Pretty much.
Instead of a Japanese cartoon guy. I mean, I know it's coming out to PC, and I'm sure it'll be on sale relatively soon, and it'll run well, and I'll buy it.
Well, you know, it's one of those games where the critic score on Metacritic is 86 out of 100, and the user score is a 3.5.
I don't know. There's a lot of people who just want the same game over and over again, maybe? I don't know.
It's like, do I even need to explain how horrible this game is? The story is horrible. The final boss battle was a disappointment.
The story is always horrible, and the boss battles were always so annoying.
I'm just reading the user reviews.
Right. I can't believe for a second that the story is worse than any other Devil May Cry game.
Yeah.
At least it was developed by people in the Western world who realize that they might want to put together a story that's actually possible to understand.
I heard that the game does have some frame rate issues.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure.
But
it'll be solved on the PC version.
I'm sure it will be solved on the PC version.
I saw like Wario64 posted a chart. They have some benchmark of Devil May Cry on PC with different video cards. And if you have a top video card, it goes like 200 frames per second or something. So
nice. So you'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
Excellent. And that's really it for new releases. Really? Nothing else. Yeah.
Damn. All right.
Unless you want to talk about DLC for Borderlands. No. That's it. Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think I want to do that.
All right, then.
All right, let's give a shout-out to our Child's Play raffle, which is winding down, and which I extended for a week because
you
I haven't
meet,
done
You didn't
to
meet your goal,
it, really.
And you haven't, yeah, well.
Because I suck.
You kind of suck.
I kind of suck, but we have a lot of great prizes. We've raised over $30,000, but we're trying to get to $50,000. We're giving away four $500 Amazon gift cards and a $300 PlayAsia gift card, $200 in Amazon PC game download credit, a ton of stuff here, and all million prizes from the community.
A million prizes?
I'm counting right now. Let me see. 999,998. 99. Yep.
A
million.
Wow. 1 million. I mean, that's almost guaranteeing that everyone will win a prize.
There's more prizes than... donators. No, okay, so maybe not a million prizes, but there's a sizable number of prizes. There's a plethora of prizes, I would say.
So, great.
Oh, you're not going to follow that up with some Three Amigos?
I didn't even hear what you said.
I said there's a plethora of prizes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that joke is hackney.
Sorry. What else we got here? How about a word from our new sponsor, Wombat?
I am more than happy to talk about our new sponsor. Our new sponsor, thank you very much, are the fine folks at Ting. Now, I know what you're wondering. What is Ting?
I am wondering that.
Ting is a mobile service that makes sense. It is a no BS mobile service, and it's part of the nationwide Sprint network. Now, to learn more about Ting right off the bat, and everyone listening should do this, go to cagcast.ting.com. That's CAGCAST, CAGCAST.TING.com. CAGCAST.TING.com.
Oh my God, there's a picture of us on that page.
There is a picture of us on that page, which is cool, as well as a link. It tells you right there, right at the picture of us on the bottom left there, how to get a $25 credit towards a new phone. How about that?
They have a little calculator, it looks like.
The calculator is awesome. I actually plugged my stuff into the savings calculator and discovered that if I was using Ting, I would save, I think, about $150 a month.
Wait, what? How could you save $150? Your phone bill is more than $150?
Well, that's for me and my wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
What kind of phone are you using?
There's two of us on the phone. Okay. Two phones.
But even still, that seems like
a lot cheaper. Yeah. Yeah, it's still a lot cheaper than what I'm currently using.
But no iPhone, though, right?
No iPhone, but they do have all the current Samsung phones, it looks like, in their in their phone list. And you could take a look at that. You could go straight, once you type in, you could look at all the devices, the different plans, with the coverage. And I highly recommend checking out the savings calculator because it happens to be kind of fun to use to like plug in your numbers and see what they come up with. There are no contracts. It is completely contract free. No early termination fees. There are different service levels for voice minutes, text messages, and megabytes of data that are all billed separately. There are no overage charges or penalties. If you use more than you thought you would, you just pay for what you used. You also get credits on unused service. If you use less than you thought you would, Ting drops you down to the level you hit and credits the difference on your next bill. No add-on charges for voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspots, three-way calling, call forwarding, and other features. Other features that are all part of the service, no add-on charges, no mysterious line items on your bill, and it's unlimited devices on one plan. Each plan costs a flat $6 a month. So that's $12 for two phones.
And it's like, are you on the Sprint network? Is that what it is? Like you?
I believe so.
Because it says it's part of the reseller of the Sprint network.
Yeah.
All right. So cool. Thanks, Wombat. And so you go to cagcast.ting.com.
Exactly.
Look at the small picture of us.
And I'm looking at their, their Ting is a service is provided.
Don't look at their Ting.
They actually have a map where you could see where their data is and where it is strongest. And it's, they really are, it really is pretty cool how interactive that site is, and exactly, you know, they show you everything and what they have, and it really seems to be very transparent. So,
dude, do you know how complicated the cell phone contracts are in Japan?
It's probably as complicated as mine is.
It's ridiculous. It might as well. It's like learning Japanese. It would be easier than learning the cell phone. It's crazy. So that's cool that there's something easy like that.
Exactamundo.
Let's move on to multi-platforming and Wombat's news and stuff. So I'm trying to think what I've been playing, because on the last show I told you I finished Far Cry, which was awesome, and I finished Need for Speed Most Wanted pretty much. So I downloaded the Kentucky Route Zero. Have you heard about this, Wombat?
I have not. What is it?
It's an independent, it's an indie point-and-click adventure game. Very stylish, but I've only played about 20 minutes of it so far. And I decided I was playing some this morning, and I decided this is the type of game that you really need to be playing at night in the dark, not at like 9:30 in the morning with the sunlight beaming through your window.
So it's like a scary game.
It's not scary. It's very, very mood dependent. You know, the game takes place at night, and it's got like a fantasy element to it in a way. It seems like kind of trippy. So you should go to KentuckyRouteZero.com and check that game out. I think you actually need the www or it doesn't work.
Interesting.
It's good so far from what I played. I'm gonna play. Mrs. Cheapy is not coming home till late tonight, so I will be able to actually play it tonight.
Cool. Enjoy it.
Yes, I will. So there's a lot of like big news items that we can talk about. Wombat,
I know. We should start. I think we need to talk about Disneylanders.
Disneylanders. Okay.
Come on, that's a funny name, and you know
that's good. That's very good.
Thank you. I can't believe I didn't see that anywhere else yet, by the way. Someone else had to have made that joke already.
Did you Google it?
I have not, because I want to make sure that I know that joke is mine.
I'm going to Google it right now. I'm going to tell you.
Yes, thanks.
Yep.
Yeah?
You're good.
Am I good? Really? Yep. No one's called it Disneylanders.
No. Dude, there's one thing called a Disneylander's Guide for Surviving Disney World, but that's it.
That's funny.
Yeah,
so
you
Disney,
win. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. Disney Infinity is coming out this summer. And, I mean, it's made by the guys who made Toy Story 3, a game that we both played.
Yes.
And both really enjoyed.
Oh, it's what's the Avalanche? No.
Yeah. Isn't that what it's, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So they're making this game. If you've played Toy Story 3, if you haven't played Toy Story 3, let me start with that. If you haven't played Toy Story 3 and you have children, go get that game. I'm sure you can find it super cheap. The toy box mode that seems to be the meat and potatoes of Disney Infinity is a heck of a lot of fun to play with your child. I strongly
recommend
it
in Disney Infinity?
Huh?
They're having that mode, you said?
Yeah, that's pretty much the core of that game.
I see. And
it's even going to have like a build your own level type aspect to it as well as a 4-player online or 2-player local co-op.
I see. Cool.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Do you really like want to have all that crap around your house though?
Here's a couple of issues I have with this game, even though it's not out yet.
And you haven't played it.
And I haven't played it.
Don't know much about it.
And I don't know anything about it.
Right.
So the starter pack is $75, which comes with three figures. It comes with Captain Jack Sparrow, Mr. Incredible, and Sully from Monsters, Inc. And that's $75. And that comes with, you know, your portal or whatever they're calling it in the game, which is exactly what Skylanders costs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. I'm okay with that. It's like that's the established price for what I am referring to now as the investment game genre.
For the parents. It's not even an investment because you're guaranteed to lose money on it.
Well, you're investing in this game for the hopes of with the return on it of continued entertainment.
Okay.
This is the investment genre. I've invented it.
Right.
Yes. So play sets. This is where it gets weird. There's going to be 20 launch figures. Each has its own associated play sets, which are gameplay worlds, which have been described as a series of mini games or stories, linked to the character and their habitat. So the playsets are character specific. So you can't put your Sully on the Pirates of the Caribbean playset. You can only put your Jack Sparrow there.
Okay.
Yes. Which I'm already like, eh, I'm not a big fan of that. They said that they did it because they had heard a lot of complaints about cross-character play in those worlds. And I'm like, that sounds like a line of BS to me.
It seems like that would be the point of the game almost.
Me too. And the playsets cost $35 each.
The Skylanders, doesn't Skylanders do the same thing, but they're like $20?
Or? Skylanders does the same thing, and they're $20, and they come with like two accessories and a character. I don't know what you get for $35. Is $35 literally just a playset, whatever that is, whatever that looks like? I don't even know. Or does that mean it comes with the, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean world and all the characters that go along with it for $35? Because that could kind of, that might be worth it. They don't really say how much the character figures cost. I only know three prices. That there's the $75 core set, the $35 play sets, and then there are the in-game buffs, which come in a pack for $5. And I don't know how many.
I should just hand over my wallet when I buy the game.
Yeah, and they don't even say, I don't know how many buffs come in a pack for $5, and those $5 packs are blind. So you don't know what you're getting for your $5.
There's like a portal that plugs into the console, like Skylanders.
Yeah, like,
right?
Skylanders, yeah.
Does it have a credit card swipe in it?
It might as well. I mean, and then, you know, there's so much more to this. I mean, the characters that they've shown in the launch are not particularly that exciting to me personally. I mean, you know, I like The Incredibles. It's probably my favorite Pixar movie. But Cars, I don't really care too much for. Monsters, Inc. Pirates of the Caribbean, I'm not, you know, I do prefer my Disney characters, maybe skewed maybe a little more towards the classic, as well as, you know, how long do you think it's going to take them to mention, to bring in the Marvel and or Star Wars?
Right. I would avoid this just because I don't want my kid asking me for shit over and over again.
Over and over again. And I'm just curious to know what the playsets come with for $35. I mean, what is the to get everything investment for this game? In this investment game. You know, with Skylanders, I think it was to get everything at launch was like $120. Which, don't get me wrong, that's a lot of money. Right. But it's not, oh my god, $120.
Right.
It's crazy, but it's not
right. The infinity in Disney Infinity is, you know,
is the
how
amount
often
of,
the,
yeah.
how when the money stops draining from your wallet.
That's exactly. That's how I feel about this right now.
So I don't know. I would, yeah, I don't like even the iPhone and iPad apps that have the in-app purchases. Those I find very annoying because Ty sees them there and he knows that it's something extra that he can add on to his game and he just bugs me for it. You know, and I say no because I don't give him everything he asks for. And with this, it just like this would be never ending. That's the infinity. Your kids never stop asking you
never,
for more shit for Disney Infinity.
That's where I'm a little concerned. I'm like, what is the, you know, 20 figures at launch? How much is a figure? Or is it they only come in the play sets and I need to buy, is it three play sets? Three play sets at $35 each? Is that what I'm looking at? I need to know. I need a little more of an idea, which I'm sure they'll let me know by the time this game comes out in June, but right. It's hard for me to get too excited about it when there are too many unknowns in the cost world.
Single, you know, 40-year-old men will enjoy this. They have the disposable income.
And the shipwrecks. And the shipwrecks.
I think parents probably don't realize what they're getting themselves into. We're educated in this in this art form.
Exactly. They just saw the $1 billion that Skylanders made and said, we need to do that, which is smart.
They were right. I mean, they do.
They're all right. I agree with that, you know, theory 100%. And it will make money. I'd be shocked if it doesn't.
Not mine, though.
But yeah, I'm suspect on how much of my money it will actually make. That and if but it It won't be that hard for me to tell Sabrina she doesn't need it if they don't have princesses at launch.
Okay.
If there's no Rapunzel for her to play as, she's not going to care.
Right.
So there, that's going to do it too. She could care less about playing as Sully or Lightning McQueen. Anyway,
let's talk about the Dead Island torso edition. Fill me in, because I've only, you know, I wake up in the morning and this shit happens and I spend a lot of time reading about it.
Well, have you seen it?
I just saw it for, you know, I saw it on the outline and I wanted to get a link for the story. I saw it and then I was like, wow.
For those who don't know, that they're the collector's edition, or whatever they're calling it, for the European collector's edition for Dead Island Riptide, contains the usual, you know, art book and the game, some extra content, and a collectible dismembered female torso that you can display in your home. And it's a zombie torso is how they're describing it. In a Union Jack bikini.
Yeah, the picture just is, I mean, you can picture it anyway in your mind, but when you see it for real, yeah, I can see why that's probably a bad idea. And they apologized for it, like, before it even came out, right? They just, as soon as they announced it, they apologized. Is that what happened?
Yeah, we sincerely regret this choice. We are collecting feedback continuously from the Dead Island community, as well as the international gaming community at large, for ongoing internal meetings with Deep Silver's entire international team today. For now, we want to reiterate to the community, fans, and industry how deeply sorry we are, and that we are committed to making sure this will never happen again.
And how? What's the time frame between when they announced this and they apologized for it?
Oh, it was less than a day.
Yeah, I'm looking at this torso right now.
It's just, you know, creepy. You can't display that in your house.
See, in Japan, this is, I think, feel like it's less creepy. Although you can't show dismemberment. Dismemberment is like, because they have a lot of these figures of just girls in bikinis and stuff.
Sure.
Demon girls with tits popping out. But yeah, dismemberment is a big deal here. So that's an automatic like Z rating or whatever the really bad rating is here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, it is pretty dumb, and it's interesting that they realized just, how dumb it was immediately.
The U.S. version is significantly tamer.
This is just in the U.K.
This is European. Just the U.K. Okay, there's a U.S. version that comes with, like, you know, those little hula doll bobbleheady kind of things that people have on their dashboards.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a hula girl that's a zombie.
Okay, but she has all her parts.
She has all her parts. It's kind of cute. You know, that's little. And you could display that on your desk, and people go, "Is that a zombie hula girl?" And then you go, "Yeah." And people will probably say, "That's kind of strange," but laugh it off. And it also comes with a bottle opener that looks like a skeleton arm, which I think is pretty sweet, actually. It's like I can't tell too much by the picture, but I would say it's probably about 4 inches, like a 4-inch long bottle opener that looks like a skeleton arm, which I kind of want. I want that bottle opener. That I would totally have.
Right.
Anytime. Yeah,
well,
anyway.
That has a use. I don't know what use you could have from a limbless female.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's like it literally serves no purpose other than to, like, creep people out who come into your. I don't know what room. Where do you put that? You can't put that on your desk at work. I could see how you could get away with having a zombie hula girl on your desk at work.
Yeah, but not it's basically just a pair of tits.
It is. It's a pair.
It's
of
a
tits.
Pair of tits and a little shoulder and belly.
Well, my Twitter joke was the European Collector's Edition of Dead Island Riptide comes with a motorboat.
It's gross. But, I mean, that's really like the only purpose of it.
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
I heard that they're going to be replacing the torso. Instead, it's just going to be a dismembered arm. And for some reason, the hand is in the shape of like a lowercase C. I don't know what you need that for.
Right. And it comes with... some Crisco, I think. Is that even a thing anymore? Does Crisco even exist anymore?
I think it's still a thing, yes. I believe it's still a thing. People still make pies.
Okay.
Yes. So there you go. I don't know.
Other video game violence news.
Sure.
I saw that Obama announced his gun control plan.
Thanks, Obama.
And part of it calls for research into a link between video games, media images, and violence. Then they're donating. They're not donating. They're mandating $10 million. The plan is to mandate $10 million to the CDC for research. I think it's a good idea as long as it's involved. You know, it's they say media images, so I assume that means movies and television, right?
And it could end this whole debate once and for all if they find that there is no link between video games and violence.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's some link. It's got to be some link.
It's funny because I was thinking about this today because it was all over everywhere. And just the idea of, you know, I think it's hard to say that my personal personality must be in some way have been affected by video games.
Right, of course.
So really the question is has it been a positive influence or a negative influence? I mean, obviously I'm not
or
a crazy person.
Influence.
Or a neutral influence, yes, that chaotic neutral.
right.
So, I mean, but again, it's also to say, I could say the same thing about Star Wars or comic books. Or
of course,
anything else.
Everything affects you. If you do anything a lot,
that's what I'm getting at. It's like, really, though? That's what they're going to find, that video games do have an effect on people, but everything has an effect on people.
Right, and I'm sure if you're mentally ill, it has more of an effect. Or maybe no effect. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's going to affect everybody differently. I saw on Kotaku, there was an article, one of their writers or somebody, they got to write an article. It's like I said, I'm mentally ill and I've been playing video games all my life and I haven't shot anybody. I'm like, but that doesn't mean anything. So I'm sure there's another guy just like you who's mentally ill and maybe he will shoot somebody.
And David Berkowitz thought his dog told him to kill people. So,
right.
But his neighbor's dog. His neighbor's dog told him to kill people.
So I'm sure there's some link, and you know, the crazy thing is what I learned from this is that there was basically a law saying that, or an order saying that we couldn't research the influences on gun violence. There was a ban on research that anything could be used as a proponent for gun control, and that this would sort of overturn that ban.
That is
a
weird
like
ban.
A silly ban to have. I mean, why would you ban research on anything?
I don't know.
Because the lobbying industry.
Are you saying that the government might be crooked?
The government's crooked.
No.
I'm telling you, you got to watch that Jack Abramoff lobbyist documentary.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't.
Casino, you know, Jack and the
I know.
Something
I,
other. It'll really gross you out.
I don't want to. That's the problem. Is I don't want to. I like being ignorant of certain things.
Right. Yeah, you would like. You would like. Oh, it's Casino Jack and the United States of Money is the documentary. Mm-hmm. And there's also, they made a movie about it. With Kevin Spacey called Casino Jack, which I don't think is supposed to be very good. But
it was
supposed
an HBO
to be,
movie.
What's that?
It was an HBO movie.
Well, it only has a 37 on Rotten Tomatoes. So the documentary is...
Well, you only have a 37 on Rotten Tomatoes.
What's that?
I said you only have a 37 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Well, the documentary has an 84, so I would go with that. But you'll realize how, you know, all our politicians are for
how
sale.
How depressing the world is. Thanks.
Yeah, and they're
thanks
for sale for really cheap.
Everyone.
That's the amazing thing.
Uh-huh.
Yep. That's the really depressing part.
Speaking of depressing.
Yes.
Epic Mickey sold like zero copies.
Epic Mickey 2.
Which is sad. Yes. It only sold 270,000 copies in North America last year. I know that because that's exactly what the headline says, verbatim.
I did not buy one, so I'm part of the problem.
Yeah, well, and it was, I don't know if you remember, but that was part of the Amazon deal that was announced, you know, early. It was one of the early announced gaming deals. And it was announced literally the week the game was coming out.
What do you mean? Like the price?
Like
drop?
The game was about to come out for $60, and at that same time, the Black Friday deals were being posted everywhere with Epic Mickey being on sale for half the price that it was that week.
I see. Right.
That could not have helped that game.
Right.
Because there were probably people like, oh, I want that game. Oh, I'll just wait until Black Friday. Ooh, look at all these other games that are on sale. I'll just get those instead. That's my guess as part of what happened, as this was released as a multi-console game as opposed to the Wii game, which sold a million more copies of Epic Mickey 1. Also, you know, based on critical response, it seems though this game was not as good as Epic Mickey 1. I don't know. I never played Epic Mickey 2.
Gotcha. So we got the MPDs, though, for December.
We do. I don't know how. We don't have any real hard numbers.
Okay.
But we do know that Call of Duty sold the most in December, which is not too shocking, followed by Just Dance 4, Halo 4, which is pretty impressive for a console exclusive to be in the top three in December.
Oh, Halo. Halo will kick ass.
You never know.
I know. Go on.
And then Assassin's Creed 3 outselling Madden. And then Far Cry 3, which probably did very well. Yeah, to be in the top 10 at that that game is so good. I know we talked about it last week. No, I'm like midway through the second island.
What happens is it depends how much you've played. I mean, I had played a lot up to that point when I got to that point. So I was ready to finish.
Yeah.
But I could see, like, if you haven't played quite enough yet, you'd be hesitant to pursue the ending.
Well,
Do you have all the upgrades pretty much?
I'm getting pretty close to having everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've unlocked most of the map.
Yeah.
And I just like taking out the camps. That's fun to me. Turning the camps from red to blue.
Those are fun. It's fun.
That's pretty much my favorite thing in the game.
There's a mod for the PC version that lets you, it makes all these changes in the game. And one of the changes is that those camps, you can, once you take it over, you can decide whether or not you really take it over. Like, you can revert back to enemy if you want.
Oh, and just take it over again?
Yeah, just to make the, you know, for more gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, the mod does a lot of things. Like, it opens up the game.
Does the game, you don't have to, like, spoil it for me, but does the game end when it ends, or do you get to go back and do stuff that you didn't
complete? Get to go back.
Okay. I'm just curious.
It even, like, during the ending, I think there's even a reference that, like you're not going to go back, but I think no matter what you do, you get to play more.
Got it. Okay. Yep. Just curious.
What else we got here on this list? So,
Skylanders, new Super Mario Brothers 2 for the 3DS hitting the number 9 spot, and FIFA at number 10. Now we also have the best selling games of the year, which would be Call of Duty number 1, Madden number 2. Madden, it's amazing. I mean, I guess it isn't amazing, but it is kind of amazing how that game has been a constant number one or number two bestseller for, what, has it been 22 years now?
Crazy.
I mean, that's really impressive.
It's a good run.
It is a really good run. Say what you want. It may not be the game for you, but the way that game sells is really impressive. I'm not commenting on the quality of the game, just...
Right.
Halo quantity. Yeah. Halo 4 at number 3, Assassin's Creed 3 at number 4. I mean,
the problem with these lists, the MPD now, is that they
don't include digital.
They don't include digital, and I feel like a lot of these games are PC games, like, you know, Borderlands.
Question though.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're wrong. You're not wrong.
Borderlands, think about Borderlands 2. It probably sold a shitload on Steam.
It probably did, but do you think it sold more copies on Steam or more copies on the Xbox 360 and the PS3 combined?
I don't know, but I think it's the number is significant enough that it could affect its ranking.
It probably is. I'm just curious to know how much it really would if you throw in all the other digital sales.
It would move some shit around for sure.
Yeah, I think we'd be... Personally, my prediction would be that it would kind of be a wash and it wouldn't move things around that much. The only thing that would probably really get shuffled would be, it'd be Halo because it's an console exclusive, and Madden because I don't know how many people play Madden on the PC.
It's not even out for the PC anymore. They don't put out a PC version.
There you go. See, I'm right.
FIFA is the only EA sports game that gets a PC version. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hockey used to. I wish hockey would.
Borderlands 2, though, was a top 10 game of the year. It was number 7. And Lego Batman 2 was number 9.
Yep. Nice.
Modern Warfare 3 was number 8. It's crazy. Anyway, those are your NPDs.
I've been playing FIFA. I have FIFA 13 on the PC because it was $20 somewhere, and, or less actually.
And have it's you fun. Started stealing people's microphone points to buy more no. cards?
I play the mode where you create your own guy, and then you can play with other people against other people. So you can play like 6 versus 6 online, and everybody controls one guy. And your guy, as you play games, you know, he levels up and you get better. It's pretty fucking fun, I gotta say, even though I'm horrible. It's amazing that you can do that these days, like 6-on-6 soccer game. It's pretty sweet.
Sounds like it.
Yep. I put this on the, I don't even know why. I don't really like soccer. I don't know anything about soccer. I mean, I used to play soccer when I was younger, but I don't even know what the positions are. Like when they have the abbreviations for the positions, you have to choose. I don't even know what they are.
I don't know what I am. I'm a striker, I think.
Right, striker. What is that?
He's a run all over character the field? Of the movie Airplane. Ted Stryker.
Stryker. I put this on the outline for you, Wamit. Did you see that? Bethesda trademarks Fallout for TV program.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What do you think?
I part of me thinks that it could really work.
What if it's like a reality TV show?
No. That
you
would not
they
work.
They couldn't do that? They wouldn't do that?
I'm not saying they couldn't do that. I'm just saying that wouldn't work. If they wanted to do like a Walking Dead style show that's based on Fallout, you know, that would work for me.
Mm-hmm. You just replace zombies with mutants.
Yeah, and basically the same show. Yeah.
And just have, and you know, the environments are more fucked up, more devastated.
And Pip-Boys and... It'd be cool if they could work in a way where, because you know they have all those perks that your character gets.
The characters are leveling up on the show.
Something like that, like some way to kind of work that in a way.
Text in to vote for what perk they take.
Not even that, like you know, one episode he meets someone and it gives him the ability to be able to drink radiated water or something.
I predict there will never be a Fallout TV show.
That is quite possible.
I'm going for that safe bet.
Do you think that, there's also been a lot of rumors about another Fallout game coming sooner than later.
I wouldn't be surprised to see one this year for maybe for the launch of the new Xbox.
You think they'll launch the new Xbox with a Fallout game?
That would be nice.
Does that mean I'm going to have to buy a new Xbox at launch?
Probably.
Oh, I hate you, Bethesda.
Don't you see that as a good strategy for everybody involved?
I think that would be an amazing strategy for everyone involved. That's why I hate love Bethesda.
Right. And a new, I mean, I just got this email. I get these emails from research companies and they, you know, analysts companies. And there was one, there's a new article they just put out about Microsoft.
I am familiar with that company.
No, right. So this company, the DFC Intelligence, is the analyst group or whatever, and the title of this their paper is Microsoft has stellar 2012, and they just go on to say how Microsoft really kicked ass last year and that they will probably be the number one console in the U.S. by the time this cycle is over, surpassing the Wii U, which. People thought was
you mean the
impossible.
Wii? You mean just
the Wii?
Excuse me,
the Wii, which people thought just like was not going to happen. So it goes to show you that the Kinect, I think, really was a home run for Microsoft, and Sony really just shit the bed. And they gave up, all their market share.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the international sales for the PlayStation 3 have still been very strong. Where worldwide, I believe the two consoles are tied. Worldwide, I believe the PlayStation 3 and the 360 are pretty much neck and neck.
The 360 loses a lot of ground in Japan.
Yeah, it's really
all
interesting. It's really interesting because that where that market share exists. It's the PlayStation 3 is pretty huge. You know, it's still huge in the United States too, but it's not as big as the Xbox sales-wise. Is in the United States.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it was interesting that Microsoft had such a huge year when Sony really had a shitty year.
Yep.
I mean, there's no other way to put it. Just shitty, which is unfortunate. But, and I'm no fan of Kinect or anything like that, but it seemed to be a really successful strategy.
I just like being able to shout at my Netflix.
Right.
Xbox Pause.
Yeah, and that works. That actually works.
Totally works.
You don't have to. You have to shout pretty loud, though, I bet.
No, not that loud. No.
I don't care. All right, should we do some cag bag now?
We can do some cag bag now.
I think we're ready for cag bag.
Mm-hmm.
Felix559 says, "What's up, nerds? What's your most regrettable gaming purchase for 2012? What's the best?" My most regrettable gaming purchase for 2012 was NHL 13, which I bought for Xbox 360, only to find that it was region locked. And then when I happily discovered it was available for PS3 for download, and I downloaded that, only to discover that the game was not region locked, but the online play is somehow region locked. So I can't play online, which is what I kind of bought the game for. And of course, then there was no NHL season. Well, now there is, but. And one of the main gameplay elements, one of the gameplay features that they added was real life moments from the NHL in the game from the current season, and there was no season.
So. Well, that's a pretty easy promise to keep now, isn't it?
Right. Guys, we're keeping it real. We're doing a great job this year. We're 100% accurate.
Good job.
We got all the moments. All the moments are in the game.
We got sitting around a table. We got arguing on the phone. All the moments from NHL.
All of them. The season starts this weekend.
I know. Exciting for you.
I don't care.
No.
They crushed me already.
Football's almost over, so I'm kind of sad. Yeah.
Do you have any... what was the best purchase? I had a lot of good purchases. I got a lot of games that I played a lot of hours. So like Far Cry 3, the two, you know, Forza and Need for Speed Most Wanted. I played the shit out of, I don't know, Walking Dead. A lot of good purchases this year. A lot of good games. Do you have any regrettable purchases?
You know, and it's not really a slight on the game. It's more of a, I don't know why I paid full price for Darksiders 2, but I did.
I know why, because Shipwreck kept talking about how
great
it was. He
kept talking about how great it was, so I bought it. And it's
you wouldn't
not that
shut
it,
up about it.
Yeah, and it's not that it was bad. I could have waited.
Right, me too. I forgot. I did the same exact thing. I fell for it too.
Yeah, I'm like, I could have waited and, you know, picking up Dishonored and XCOM for $25 each. Don't regret that. And what I spent, $39 for Far Cry 3. Don't regret that. Full price for Darksiders 2. I didn't need to do that.
All right, let's see here. What else we got? MW Mike 11 has two questions. Oh, one for Shipwreck. That's not going to help us.
So he only has one question.
He has one question. What are our most anticipated games of 2013?
I have none. I'm excited for Lego Marvel. That's probably the closest thing I'm going to get. I have right now to a game I'm really looking forward to playing. Mm-hmm. I said this to Shipwreck earlier today, is I really think this is going to be the year I spend time on the games I already have that haven't played. I have Dead Island and Dead Space 2 still sealed, sitting under my TV. Like, I should play those games at some point. Before I play Dead Space 3, I should open Dead Space 2.
Maybe. Just open it?
Maybe just open it. I feel like that's kind of, has to be a rule somewhere. I mean, I know that the new BioShock is coming out this year.
Right. I'm looking forward to that.
It's not that I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not excited for it. I'm just not. I'm sure it'll be good. It's not, again, it's not a knock on the potential quality of the game, but my personal excitement level for the new BioShock right now isn't really there. Yeah.
All right.
There are rumblings of a new Dragon Age, of Dragon Age 3 coming out this year. That I'd be interested. I'm willing to give the Dragon Age series another shot.
What about next-gen Dragon Age?
Yeah, well, that's really the question. What is it? Or is it going to be a swan song for the current console?
Yes. Why are all these questions for Shipwreck on here?
I don't know.
He's not even here. Who put this on here?
Well, this is... What about the... Anyone?
I got more.
Yeah, what?
Thorbon 3 wanted to know that since I like the Walking Dead game, will I watch the TV show and read the comic?
No and no.
Will I? Do you do either?
Huh? No, I read the first graphic novel of the comic book about 100 years ago.
Right. I probably won't. We watched the first episode, Mrs. Chibi and I, and it was fine. And I heard it gets really good. Maybe we will. You never know. I'm assuming it's on Netflix and whatnot.
Bah.
Frisky Tanuki writes in and says, Xbox Smart Glass has been out a couple months now, and I've been trying out the app on my Nexus 7 to much disappointment because very few games support it. But those that do don't use it for anything that's even close to what Microsoft hyped up as its potential at E3 last year. And he goes on to say that the features really are more like generic universal support across games rather than like specific things that they should have worked on for those games. And then he says, should we just call Xbox 360 Smart Glass a failure because it's kind of sucks, basically. I agree. It does kind of suck because I've used it for...
Yeah, it has no real use.
Yeah, it doesn't... I mean, I use it for Forza Horizon where it lets you just... pulls up a picture of the map and you can plan your route on the map, but you can do that just by pushing start on the controller and it's much faster. And the karaoke one I used, which doesn't even let you type in the name of a song to search for it. So yeah, it's kind of useless.
Dumb.
Yeah, it was rushed out there because they figured, you know, they could look, we can have a Wii U type thing also. Like, it's no Wii U is no big deal. But E3 is the home of making big promises and then just completely under delivering on them or not delivering at all on them. I mean, you can probably go every year and pull stuff out of presentations that just never came to fruition from every company.
Totes my goats.
I mean, it's pretty laughable actually. Let's see here. Thomas 96 asks if the used games market does go away, would we see better deals for new games or more price drops? What would a world without used games look like?
I would say it would be the exact opposite.
Less sales.
Fewer sales.
Fewer sales.
Fewer price drops.
I mean, he's referring to the rumor that the PS3 has the new PS4 has some anti-used game dealio.
Hoojaboo. Which
I don't think they want to mess with that at this point. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Wombat, sadly, Wombat is right that if the used market does go away, well, yeah, I don't know if it would affect the sales for games because you still need to get people in stores. You still have promotions. I don't know. I think you'd sell less games, though. That's what I think would happen.
I think GameStop would not be long for this world without
GameStop would have a big problem. Yeah. GameStop would start taking trade like your television and stuff.
Whoa, selling used TVs.
Because they've been taking more and more stuff. Like they'll take iPads now and they take phones too.
Yeah.
Definitely iPhones probably.
Yeah, they take iPhones.
But yeah. So I don't know. I think it wouldn't change much, but people would buy less games.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't know. I think that's it, Wombat.
I think we've done a good show.
It wasn't good.
You know, this is a terrible show. We were a man down. I blame Shipwreck. I think everyone should send him a tweet at Shipwreck and say, you let us down. That's what you need to say. You let me down, Shipwreck.
Right.
I waited all week to hear from you, and you personally, you let me down. You let this country down. And I'm saying this country because you may be listening and not be in the country I'm in, but it's implied that he let the country that you are in down. He is not only not a patriot anymore, he is not even a citizen of the world. How dare you?
You might be going a little too far, Wombat.
You think so?
Yeah. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. And remind everybody about our new sponsor. Go to kagcast.ting.com for a we got a $25 service credit or device discount. We didn't even know about that one.
I said that before.
You did?
I did. I did mention it. That's okay.
Also, follow us on Twitter, GPD, Wombat, 5277, and Shipwreck, and at facebook.com/cheapassgamer. And hopefully Shipwreck will be back next week.
Don't forget about my new podcast.
Oh, that thing. That new and noteworthy on iTunes.
I know.
Congratulations.
Us and This Week in Guns.
Yes. There were actually two gun podcasts listed there.
Whatever. At least that's not what our show is about, so we don't have that competition.
Right. It's called Uninformed Opinions,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
I listened to an episode.
And?
It was good-ish.
It was an episode that I listened to.
It was a podcast that was good. I didn't listen to the toys one, not the not the child one.
That's okay. I think you would enjoy the toys one more.
Okay.
Yeah, we already recorded our episode for next week.
What's it about?
It's going to be about Looney Tunes. That's right. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for listening. We will see you next week.
Bread's done.
I'm Lewis, the lifeguard, and happy to say I rescued a drowning potato today. They drowned it in sour cream. Oh, what a shame, because food's so much better when it's practically plain. So don't drown your food in mayo, salt, ketchup, or goo. Yuck! It's no fun to eat what you can't even see. So don't drown your food.